Spending a little bit of time this morning on AM 1400, 93.3 FM K1 with Oklahoma Lieutenant Governor Todd Lamb, and several things. I understand that you just got back from the National Association of School Resource Officers, and boy, I tell you, whether it's school security or just law enforcement in general, you've been a busy guy.
Well, we have been busy, but what's new? We try to stay pretty busy, pretty hooked up, and serving the people of Oklahoma. Charlie, great to visit with you again. Yeah, I just got back from that national conference. It's the second time I've been a keynote speaker at that National Association for School Resource Officers. I think 2008 was the last time. Of course, you know, I've got that background in law enforcement. When I was in the state senate, I authored the Oklahoma School Security Act. This most recent trip to NASRO was, again, to keynote about 900 participants in this National Association of School Resource Officers. So it was kind of a twofold mission on my part, Charlie. One, I thanked all these SROs for what they do on a regular basis, protecting our classrooms, protecting our students, protecting our faculty. But also, I was able to talk a little bit about Oklahoma, what we're doing proactively in school security. And I talked about something you and I have visited with a couple of years ago after the Newtown, Connecticut tragedy in, I think, right around 2012. I led a statewide initiative of subject matter experts to be proactive about school security, and I shared with the resource officers what we're doing, requiring two lockdown drills, two fire drills, two intruder drills, and then two drills at the discretion of the local district to have that local control aspect. And then I told them about our School Security Institute, which is up and running in Oklahoma and a great resource to schools all throughout our state. And then I talked about the tip line. Charlie, I know you've been involved with Crime Stoppers USA, and you care deeply about that, and I know that they've been a great resource for schools all across the country. But that's what I talked about, and very well received. I talked to police officers from Newtown, Connecticut, from California, all across the country, and they were just very interested in what Oklahoma's been doing.
Well, and when it comes to taking a school tips, I know our local Bartlesville program has had the opportunity to prevent what could have been a school shooting a couple of years ago, both at Bartlesville High School and also at Tri-County Tech, just different incidents. And, of course, we do operate a national toll-free tip line, 800-222-TIPS, and maybe that's something the state could adopt and we could work together on something like that.
It'll be very exciting to do some work together. And before I forget, I can't miss this opportunity. The Bartlesville superintendent, your superintendent right there, was on this statewide initiative, the School Security Task Force, that met for 8 weeks in tense time and provided these recommendations to the legislature. So he was very helpful, and I appreciate his service.
Well, and looking at some of these other things that school resource officers do, and I know you talked about that a lot in your keynote address, but when it comes to things like school safety plans and helping school officials with evacuation, and I know police like to be just acquainted with school buildings, and I know many departments, including Bartlesville, tour every school building at least once a year just to be familiar with ingress and outgress and all that stuff.
Well, and that's, I'm glad you mentioned that. Folks really thought that was interesting. One, back to a couple of years ago, we had an architect on this school security task force, an architect. And then one of the recommendations we had that was passed, schools are required to have their building plans and any new construction plans once they're completed on file with the local emergency response center, whether it's a hospital or something along those lines, and or a local police station or a first responder like a sheriff's office. That makes perfect sense to have a blueprint and the construction plans there on a file in the event they're needed very quickly. And that's just another example of Oklahoma being proactive and other states saying, hey, I want to do what Oklahoma's doing because they're a national leader in this area.
Well, I think we can lead the nation in a lot of things. Wasn't there a bill not too long ago that dealt with reporting firearms on places like schools?
Yeah, you're right. That's the one I've not covered yet. That precipitated out of the School Security Task Force. Another bill we had, so oftentimes firearms were discovered. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, a hunting rifle on the back of a pickup because somebody's going to leave school early or when they get to school, go to the deer stand. We're not trying to prevent things like that, but oftentimes firearms were discovered in lockers or gym bags or backpacks. and principals were pressured not to report those incidents because it would not reflect positively on that school. We had a couple of principals on this task force, and they said, please make it a requirement that we must report firearms that are discovered in our school. So the principal said, so our hands are tied, and we have to report it if it's a statutory mandate. That way it takes pressure off of us, and a parent can't pressure us not to report. So that was another important element of reform that we passed a few years ago.
Looking at recent events nationally, and of course you mentioned everything from Sandy Hook to several other events, as with your background in law enforcement, communication with schools and just communities in general and law enforcement leads to better relationships, leads to better understanding, and is there, that you know of, any formal, I'll say, request for, you know, communications between local communities and just law enforcement agencies?
Well, Charlie, I don't know that I really understand the question. Come at me one more time if you would.
Yeah, our local chief was on the air about a week or so ago, just to, I'll say, in my words, kind of an outreach to local folks that talking about the Dallas shootings or some of the other recent shootings, say Kansas City even, just fostering better communications, better community relations between local departments and the communities they serve.
I would just not have, having heard the chief's remarks, but paraphrased by you, I would just echo. You asked if there's been any formal request that I've heard. No, but I would echo what the chief said. That's so important with my past in law enforcement. You know, one of the glaring criticisms and observations immediately post at 9/11, I'm talking about 9/11 p.m., 9/12, 9/13, the hours and days immediately following 9/11, there was a criticism that law enforcement did not do a good enough job, really federal law enforcement did not do a good enough job of sharing information to the state and local levels. So that goes both ways, from the feds down to the state and local authorities, but also need to make it easier, like the tip line we were talking about moments ago, make it easier and friendlier for our citizens to report things they think might be suspicious or out of the norm. So that communication needs to flow more freely both directions, Fed intelligence to state and locals, and just encourage our citizens to report anything that they might see or be concerned about.
Okay. We are done with the election from the end of June, but many communities across the state of Oklahoma...
It doesn't feel like it, Charlie.
Well, at least with the conventions right now going on this week and next week on the national level, and I'll leave speeches and who wrote the speeches and all that stuff alone to somebody else. But there are some runoff elections. Bartlesville has a local school bond election coming up next month, so voters need to keep engaged and be aware and do their homework.
They absolutely do. You're right. The primary over, but listen to this number. 34 runoff elections. That sounds like an election cycle, doesn't it? There's 34 runoff elections in Oklahoma. Runoff is August 23rd. One congressional runoff, 7 state Senate runoffs, and then 6 state House and 20 county runoffs. Of course, you know, the requirement is you get 50% plus one, not a plurality, but 50% plus one. And there's one state Senate seat in Oklahoma City metro area. I think the plurality victor, if you will, he was 7 or 8 votes shy of getting that 50% plus one. So it's very tight elections. So good news is our Republic is strong. Democratic activity is still in action. The not-so-good news, you'll still be inundated in your mailboxes and on the TV screen and the radio. That's good news for you, though, the radio business. There'll still be ads going all throughout the state, at least up until August.
Yeah, and then we'll get, I'll say, maybe a 6-week break before, well, no, actually, I've already seen some presidential ads, so I can't even say that.
November, right.
Yeah, so, we'll have a month, maybe 6 weeks, and then we'll fire it back up for the first Tuesday in November. So,
well, It's an exciting time, isn't it, Charlie?
It is. It's an exciting time. And informed voters usually make good choices. So, again, I'll say take advantage of any forums where you get the opportunity to hear the candidates talk about the issues in their own words, and then do your own homework on their websites, and be diverse in gathering information to make sure you're getting the straight story.
Once again, good advice from Charlie Tarboletti.
Well, sir, I don't know when you're coming back to Bartlesville, but I understand it's relatively soon.
Well, I think that's right. I'm checking the schedule. It's been too long since I've been in Bartlesville. Of course, I make it to Washington County minimum once a year, but it's been a few months, I guess, since I've been there, and I look forward to coming back. I don't know the exact date or the exact event, but I think it is on the horizon.
Okay, well, we look forward to seeing you once you're back in town. And as always, it's a great opportunity for us to invite you to Earl Sears Park, and who knows, maybe John Ford will be home and not visiting his grandchildren.
Well, I can always hope, but I look forward to being back really soon, Charlie.
Thank you very much. Lieutenant Governor Todd Lamb with us this morning on AM 1400 K1.